Looking for a career with a Fortune 500 organization where you can bring your values to work? Look no further than Thrivent Financial, a faith-based membership financial services organization, helping members be wise with money and inspiring them to live generously. As a not-for-profit organization, we give back millions of dollars to the causes our members care about. At Thrivent, you'll find a meaningful career, making a difference for others and your community. To learn more about our financial representative opportunities, visit thrivent.com.
Good morning and welcome to His Time. I'm Roland Lettner. I'm filling in because, as you may know, the weather in St. Louis is not clement. But yet we don't want to let the opportunity pass to do our Bible study this morning. The text is Romans 10. We're going to go verses 1 to 21. And our guest pastor this morning is someone I've not worked with on the Bible study before. But here, it's a good opportunity because of weather to make new friends. Romans 10, 1 to 21. Pastor Adam Salinas is with us. He serves at Golgotha Lutheran Church in Wausau, Nebraska. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Now, you must be mocking us here in St. Louis because we get a little bit of snow and nobody can make it to work. And up there, you get, what, thousands of feet every wintertime, don't you?
Yeah.
So feel free to make fun of us richly as we go through this. So tell me a little bit about yourself before we get to the study.
I graduated from Concordia University, Wisconsin. I went there 4 years. I was on the cross-country and track teams all 4 years. And then I went to the Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, and I was on the Concordia Kingsmen basketball team for my first 2 years. Then I went to Vicarage in Fresno, California, and then I played basketball my last year of seminary at Fort Wayne.
So. Well, you seem to have run a similar sports path to my youngest daughter. She started out running cross-country. She's playing basketball right now.
Yes, yes. So
anything,
yeah, I'm still trying to run, too, so trying to keep in shape.
She loves any kind of a sport with legs. And when you talk about legs, Paul, man, the guy traveled everywhere, wrote to almost everyone in the Mediterranean basin as he planted churches all along the way. But what is it about the Roman church that is so special?
It's special because he spoke of God's righteousness in Christ. If you go to Romans chapter 10, verse 4, you see here that he says that for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That to those who believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we know that God forgives all of their sins through Christ. He adopts us as his children for his sake, and out of pure grace, without no merit on our part, God justifies and he saves us as his precious children. But he doesn't do it in a way that we may abuse God's grace and may sin, hoping for grace. But Paul thoroughly and he forcefully shows us in the distinction between the law and the gospel we see as well.
Why is it, Pastor, if you go through chapter 10, one of the things Paul talks about is how people can appear to be very religious. I mean, as religious people go, Paul was probably, an 11 on a scale of 1 to 10 as a Pharisee. Pharisee of Pharisees. They can be so religious, but yet they can still miss God. How is that possible?
How they can miss God?
Yeah.
In what way?
Well, I guess what they do is they prefer a theology of their own. You know, the problem is we get the Christ we get. We don't get the Christ we want.
Well, I would say that that they thought that they believed in their external worship. They wanted to believe in their certain idols that they were worshiping in the Old Testament. They didn't want to believe in God's promises of salvation that were coming to them in Christ. They were ignorant of the righteousness of God. They wanted to establish their own righteousness by living out on the law, by living out of faith-based works rather than a faith based on the righteousness of God. So their desire was to believe in themselves, to believe on their own works and on their own merits to attain salvation in God. But God doesn't work that way. God justifies us by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. And the righteousness based on works will never save us. But the righteousness based on faith in Christ, that's what saves us. That's what we receive from God. We receive the gift of faith by hearing of the Word of God and the Gospel. when we receive that gift of faith, we confess with our lips and we confess with our heart that it is only God who can save us through his son, Jesus. And that's what we confess as Christians when we come to the divine service. God responds first back to us, and then we respond to him, giving him thanks and praise for saving us from our sins, for giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit in our baptism. And then, and thus, we are able, as it says in Romans 10:9, which was my confirmation verse. I love this verse. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I just love that verse.
Well, take that verse for me. Make a distinction between faith and religion, because some people could take that verse and say, well, if I just do these things, everything will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
What is the distinction between religion and faith as it applies to that verse?
Well, faith is a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God, which we have received in holy baptism, where we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So faith is a gift from God. Now, religion can you kind of help me out here? Religion is kind of a...
Here's what I'm looking at, Pastor, sometimes we become so comfortable in our salvation, so religious, that we think going to church, I'm okay. You know, I write my check every couple of weeks. I'm okay. You know, I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm okay. And yeah, if people ask me, I'll confess that I'm a Christian. But is that really what faith is? And is that really what that verse is telling us to do?
I'm not really sure. To kind of explain a little bit more, I'm just kind of...
Well, I think that the problem with the Pharisees, with the Jews, the reason they didn't recognize the Christ... is they were so busy going about the motions of religion that they really didn't have faith. Would you think that's a fair statement?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, as we went through the book of Romans on the Bible study, the Bible study that comes up at 10 o'clock every day here on KFUO, that seemed to be the focus of what Paul was talking about here in this chapter, is that there's the distinction to be made between what he was before and what he is now that he's truly in the faith, that new creation in Christ. I marvel at the fact that some people who can appear to be very religious really aren't very faithful. You know, they go through the motions. You know, if I just do the right things in the right order, and that's almost like being a Pharisee in a sense, isn't it?
Yes, that we're not supposed to go through the motions, that our faith in Christ, we know that we are to live, you know, outwardly, we are to show our faith in Christ and show our love to one another by works and deeds of service, by helping feed the hungry, helping, you know, the poor, you know, with clothing and with shoes, as we have that. We have a food drive at our church at Golgotha that we help, you know, those unfortunate families. We help them with food and needs for that food that they can receive in their lives to help them and aid their families. And in Christ, you know, he wants us to share that gift of faith with other people. And he wants us to share that faith which we have received in our holy baptism, where we are washed and cleaned and sanctified in the very blood of Christ. For we know that in our holy baptism that we were drenched in the blood of Christ. We were saved by the blood of Christ. And just as the blood of Christ saved the Israelites in the Passover when the blood was upon the lintel post, upon the door, the Israelites were saved through that blood, and Christ saved us through his blood on the cross. He has given us that forgiveness. And we confess that reality. We confess with our lips and with our mouth, and we believe that Jesus Christ truly is our Lord and our Savior, who has raised us from the dead, and we will be saved by that confession and by that reality that we are not alone, that Christ is not distant from us. As it says, if you look at verse 10, 6 to 7, it says, but the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. Well, Christ is near us. He is not in some faraway region, or he is not distantly remote. We don't have to search for God in inaccessible regions or high or low, but Jesus Christ, he is the incarnate Son of God. He has become one of us. He has died, and he has been risen from the dead for our justification. So our faith in Christ, we are to, we are not just to hide it. God doesn't want us to hide our faith in him or cover it in certain ways, but he wants us to to serve God. He wants us to serve Him and be of service to other people throughout our lives as we show our faith in Christ and as we confess Him and as we bring other people to faith. And we know that the way that other people are brought to faith is by hearing of that Word of God. And if you look at verse 17, it says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. That through the ear, the message is heard." And the message is the meaning here, that although the work is done and the forgiveness of sins is secured by the cross, it cannot come to us in any other way than through that Word of God. So it is God's will that we hear His Word and that it should be heard, and that a person's ears should not be closed. And with God's Word, we know that the Holy Spirit is present, and that people are converted only through the Holy Spirit's grace and power, who alone does that work of converting a person. So I know I'm probably jumping all around all the place, but
that's what makes it interesting, because if you follow the text verse by verse, that's got a good cadence to it. But sometimes you have to jump around because you have to relate these one verse to the next. Because sometimes with Paul, especially if we're studying Ephesians right now on the Bible study at 10 o'clock, those sentences tend to get pretty long.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can get lost in those. Thank goodness I don't have to read them in the Greek. I just have to read them in the English.
Mm-hmm.
But you can kind of get lost in those sentences, and you can always make application and draw a connection to the other things that Paul has written as well, even within the same chapter. Pastor Salinas, let's end up on this point here. And again, I apologize because of the weather here.
Yeah.
It really was, the traffic out today really was pretty awful. If you didn't have to leave, we woke up this morning and we found that school districts were closed. Nothing like this was expected when we went to bed last night.
Okay.
So otherwise, Andy Bates would be here. So if I've taken you a little bit off the format you expected, well, we don't want to leave the listeners without the regular morning study that they have. So thanks for working with me. First off, I appreciate that. But let's end up here on verse 21.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
"But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." If we've lived a completely sinful and reprobate life, we may come to a point where we have to deal with someone, maybe a family member, who says, yeah, I know, but God could never forgive me for what I've done. Well, what does that verse speak to there?
I would say that verse speaks to that, that God wants us to, He wants us to respond to His gracious invitation.
Is it ever too late?
What'd you say?
Is it ever too late?
No, it's not. That's God's grace. That's God's grace given to people, that if someone has lived a sinful and reprobate life throughout their whole life, and then finally at their deathbed, they come and they say, "I'm sorry for my sins." They repent of their sins, and they come to the full saving knowledge and faith in Christ, and that we have from God's grace, that God will save them and bring them to live with Him forever in eternal life in heaven. That's God's grace given to us. That, if it was left up to us and to our own, to our own minds and to our own will, to be saved, we would all be lost and all be, left in, this wreckage of sin. We would all be, left alone and not have that grace. But God, He desires that all people come to be saved. He wants His grace applied to all people and His love to come to all people. That God doesn't desire the death of any sinner, and that's what we celebrated just this past Sunday. We celebrated Lutherans for Life. We celebrated Life Sunday, that God loves all human life, whether it's a child born in Africa, a child born in the United States, wherever, whether that child is in, it doesn't matter. God wants all people to be saved, and He wants all people to come to that knowledge of truth. And if it's on the deathbed of that person, then God says that person will be saved. That those who confess and believe in their heart that God has raised them from the dead, that you will be saved. So God wants all life to be saved. He does not want, He wants people to come to a knowledge of the truth in Him. And like a loving father waiting for his children to come home, God yearns to show mercy on all of us. And Christ Jesus is always near to us in His holy word. He stands ready to forgive and to renew us, even if it is on that person of on a deathbed confession, that they come to Christ and believe in Him.
So. And Pastor, I'm glad you mentioned that this is the month in which we recognize the importance of life, protecting life in the womb, the March for Life taking place, lots of Lutherans heading to Washington, D.C. for the march, as well as other Christians.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman, let's end on this note,
okay,
appropriate
okay.
for this month.
Okay.
If a woman has had an abortion and believes that it is a sin unforgivable by God, What do you have to say to her?
I would say to her, look at, you know, God's word, that nothing can separate us. If you look at Romans 8, 38 and 39, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I would give her the comfort of the gospel, for she is terrorized in the law. She feels like that she is lost in her sin. But God, you know, says that, you know, all sins are, you know, that he wants us to repent. He wants us to come to him and to receive his grace and his mercy and his love. He doesn't want that person to die or wallow in their sins. He wants that mother to come to the realization that she is not alone, even though she may feel like that. God wants that mother to come to him. He wants that mother to know that what she did, yes, was a sin, but God, we know that God forgives sins to those who are repentant and those who come to live and those who have faith and trust in him alone. So I would comfort that mother with the gospel of Jesus Christ to let her know that God has not rejected her. God has not, you know, God has not given her away, but God wants to bring her to his comfort and to his grace and to his love. For we know that God's greatest love is displayed on the cross, where he has mercy on us, where he shows his greatest love by dying for us and on the cross to forgive our sins, and by rising on the third day to justify us before God, our Heavenly Father, and to give us life in heaven. So I would tell that mother to bring her comfort to her and share with her the good news that Christ is with her always, even especially in times of trial and tribulation, that she is not alone, but that God is always near to her and dear to her forever, and that he'll be with her all the days of her life as long as she calls on him and as long as she comes to him.
Pastor Adam Salinas serves at Golgotha Lutheran Church in Wausau, Nebraska, a place where they know how to deal with snow, unlike the good folks here in St. Louis. Again, our apologies for the format being a little bit unexpected this morning. We're trying to work with the weather as best we can. Here at KFUO, we're going to get right back on track, probably by about the 9 o'clock hour. Everybody should be in place. Pastor, thank you for your time. God's blessings on your ministry, and thanks for participating with us this morning.
Thank you very much. God's blessings to you, too. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, guys, don't forget the Bible study is coming up at 10 o'clock today. We are in Ephesians. Dr. Victor Belton will be my guest from Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia. But for the time being, and as we get things back on track here on this snowy, blustery, and very, very cold St. Louis Tuesday morning, here's a little bit more music for you.